Hi, it's Chris Titley here, and as part of the Morgan Startup Series, I'm joined by Tim Fung, co-founder and CEO of Airtasker. Tim, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Tim, can you tell us about Airtasker and how the concept began and the idea and how it, you know, where you're at now?
We started Airtasker about 4 years ago in March 2012. What we are is an online marketplace that connects people together with a local workforce of over 500,000 people across Australia. And we help people with jobs that could be anything from things around the home, like cleaning, gardening, handyman jobs, through to small businesses using Airtasker for things like office admin, photography, or website design. And then even up into enterprise customers who are using Airtasker to create huge armies of workers that can scale up and scale down as they need them.
Fantastic. And how did you come up with the concept?
We came up with Airtasker in 2011 because I was moving apartments. And I had a friend who came and helped me to move my apartment. I asked him to come and help me because he runs a chicken factory. So he has this truck. And so at the end of the weekend, he'd help me with all these little jobs like cleaning, assembling IKEA furniture, setting up the Wi-Fi router in my new place, all these things. And at the end of the weekend, I gave him a case of beer, and he said, you know, this is the fourth time I've had to help someone with moving because I own this damn truck. And so our thought was, you know, why do we ask all these people who are busy, who have things to do, why do we ask them to help us with all these jobs when there's all these people who are underemployed or unemployed in Australia? And the answer was that we don't trust them. So we thought, you know, if we can make a trusted way for you to connect with these people in the community to help you do all these jobs, then there had to be a more efficient way of getting things done.
And how did you start with a minimal viable product? Did you sort of gather information around various competitors, or did you just sort of quit your day job and go ahead and do it?
So I think it's pretty important at some point in the entrepreneurial journey to draw the line and to actually say, you know, I'm going to go at this with full force now. Because I think people who are running startups while they're still in a working, you know, a full-time working job, it can be very tough. I'm not saying that it can't happen, but I think in today's competitive environment, if you're only putting 4 hours a day into a business, there's going to be someone else out there who's going to be putting 16 hours a day into their business. And so it's pretty tough to do it that way. So Jono, my co-founder, and I can actually remember the moment, you know, we went out, we got a beer, and we said, are we going to do this? And then we said, yes, we're going to do it. And we went out and we did it. We put in a bunch of our own money to build an MVP and to get it going. But pretty soon after, we knew it was going to be necessary to engage with investors and raise money. Marketplace businesses are notoriously, you know, capital intensive up front in order to get an outcome in the end.
Fantastic. And things have obviously progressed since that beer. Can you give us some indication on how the business has progressed from that day in terms of growth levels?
Sure. So, you know, when we started the business, it took us many years just to hit, you know, a couple of thousand jobs a month. But in the past 2 years, the business has grown over four times year on year. And we're now seeing about $40 million a year going through the platform, being paid out to our workers. We have over 520,000 community members in Airtasker, and we have over 170,000 transaction verified customer reviews. And that for us is the real gold, in that it creates the fabric of trust between our users. So that's one of our key indicators. But I definitely wouldn't say that it was a nice J curve all the way to where we are now. You know, those first 2 years were excruciatingly slow and difficult.
It sounds like the business has got a huge amount of momentum now. From a funding point of view, you did mention that you self-funded it early on, but since then, how have you gone about funding the business?
So we've engaged venture capital funds and angel investors throughout our lives. And you know, it's become almost formulaic what the way people raise money these days. You know, they usually raise an angel round, then a seed round, then a Series A, and all these things. And in hindsight, we have gone through a process which is quite similar to that. But we certainly weren't following any playbook. We kind of just did what we had to do to raise money at each time. So when we started out, we engaged with some really influential angels. And we were able to get to them through, you know, just our extended networks. We then engaged with a group called Exto Partners, which is an Australian VC fund. And in our Series A, we went internationally and we've raised a bunch of money from Chinese investors plus Australian venture capitalists.
And the money that's been raised, what's it predominantly for? Is it to continue on with optimising the product or is it to expand into different geographies? Can you give us a bit of an indication of what the game plan is?
Yeah, so balancing the funding equation is a really interesting one. And I think it's something that, you know, starts on one end of the seesaw, much more weighted down towards product, engineering and headcount. But, you know, as the business evolves and as you start to get a good feel for the product market fit, I think you start sliding your funding weight towards marketing, promotion and actually getting users onto it. So we've had a pretty similar story to that where, you know, to date we've definitely weighted, you know, a vast proportion of the money that we've raised towards product and engineering. But as we move forward into the future, we're planning on doubling down on our marketing spend.
How big do you think the market is, and are there any competitors out there doing what you're doing, and where do you sit in that competitive landscape?
It's a great question about the total addressable market of Airtasker, and when we get asked this question, you know, we respectfully kind of go, we don't think the total addressable market is an issue when you're building a platform business which is based on contracted labour. We think that the total addressable market for contracted labour is absolutely massive. When you start with, you know, home services like cleaning, gardening and handyman, you know, they're billion-dollar industries just in Australia in their own right each. But then moving into small business services, temporary recruitment and then enterprise-level work, we believe that the market in Australia is a multi-billion-dollar market. One interesting statistic that we found over time is the creation of what we call the shadow economy. And what the shadow economy is when there's a certain amount of transactions that are happening in a given industry vertical, but by creating a more efficient platform or a better way of doing something, or by even just creating more awareness, you actually expand the size of that industry. So you're not just taking market share from other people, you're actually making a bigger market. And an example of that is, you know, Uber, when they started in San Francisco in 2009, I think it was, they said, you know, the San Francisco total addressable market of point-to-point transport, which was just taxis, was about $140 million. But now Uber alone does $500 million of revenue just in San Francisco. So that proves that, you know, by making a better system, an easier system, a cheaper system, you actually create a bigger market than what exists right now.
That's a very good point, and we've seen that in the public domain with the company Domino's Pizza, for instance. You know, the number of people that eat pizzas has improved. The pie has actually got bigger itself as opposed to eating into that market share, and that's one of the reasons why they've been so successful is because they've made it easier and their technology behind it and grown the pie. So that's a very good answer. And coming on to that point in terms of competition, you're seeing verticals, as you mentioned, things like Hipages perhaps and 99designs going down the logo front. I mean, do they compete in your space or is it all part of the puzzle?
So, again, a really, really interesting question. And our view is that in the same way that product e-commerce evolved, so will the services e-commerce space. And that's to say that there is no one player who can possibly own the concept of we sell everything online. You know, Amazon's obviously a big player in that market, as is eBay and, you know, a few others. But certainly it's not possible to say, you know, our business focuses on owning the entire landscape of product sales. And I think it's very similar with services. You're going to see a whole range of things from vertical guys that are doing things like we just do cleaning services online, or we just do logo design online, or web development, or virtual services. Then you're going to see a bunch of horizontal players. And those horizontal players are people like Hipages, like Freelancer, like Airtasker. And I think both of those things will coexist into the future in the same way that you have eBay, which is a horizontal, and Amazon, which is a horizontal, but you also have Zappos, which is a vertical for cruise, or Book Depository, which is a vertical for books.
Fantastic. And a question you might get asked a lot, I suppose, with these marketplaces is how do you avoid leakage and people doing it offline?
We definitely see that there's a huge opportunity to retain customers and upsell them and cross-sell them into a whole range of services that Airtasker can provide. But one analogy that I make is that if you go to a cafe and you have your first coffee in your life at this cafe, the barista, you know, teaches you how to taste coffee and how to enjoy it, and then the next day you walk up the street, you go to another cafe and you drink a cup of coffee at that cafe, the initial cafe doesn't kind of go, oh, my God, we've just lost this customer off the road. How unfair is that? He should have to pay me $1 for every coffee he drinks because I introduced him to the concept of coffee. We think that that's probably not the right way to look at introductions and leakage in a marketplace. We think actually it's much more of an opportunity to resell this guy. You know, if you're the guy who introduced this person to another, then, you know, if you're doing a great job, you can do that again, or you can cross-sell them or upsell them into other things. But it's probably not right to say, damn, we lost that customer, because if he didn't want to come back to you, then you never had him in the first place.
That's a good answer. I've got to ask this question, but what's the most popular service on Airtasker? You hear all sorts of different weird and wacky stuff, but what do people really use the site for?
So potentially disappointing to tell you that, you know, the most common things on Airtasker are pretty straightforward things like cleaning, handyman jobs, deliveries and office admin. So they're pretty straightforward categories. But we certainly see the biggest category is the one that's got cover. And that's filled with, of course, lots of subcategories. But what it illustrates is that what a marketplace really does is it aggregates up all of these verticals that can never exist in their own. So, for example, last year we had 700 people lining up for iPhones around Australia to be the first to get an iPhone. Or a couple of months ago we had 100 people lining up for In-N-Out Burgers when they opened up their pop-up store in Surry Hills. And those are examples of industries that could never exist, you know, if you tried to create a standard traditional supply chain model, but can exist in the marketplace universe. And when you aggregate up all of those little ones, that's actually much, much bigger than a big category like cleaning on its own.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wish someone could have delivered a burger to Brisbane with In-N-Out, but certainly consumed their product in California when I was there and very jealous of the pop-up store. And as you mentioned, the creation of a niche market, which in its own right would not exist without the likes of Airtasker. What are you seeing in terms of technology trends? Are you getting some good data from what people are doing and different perhaps fads and phases? Is there something which to you is the way of the future and perhaps Airtasker could leverage off that?
For sure. So the data that Airtasker grabs is really, really rich. And the reason why it's so rich is because Airtasker actually takes people through the whole journey of a service being provided. So everything from posting your job to receiving offers from the workers, from knowing which worker is actually selected and why, into the communications, payments, insurance, and then feedback and reviews. So Airtasker has this sort of virtual loop where we see the whole transaction playing out, which is quite different to something like a Gumtree or a hipages, whereby they sort of see the beginning of the transaction, but then it quickly goes offline into mobile phone or email or something that they don't have data on anymore. So the great thing is that we get a lot of information around things like pricing. You know, we have a very good idea of what cleaning costs in all of the different suburbs across Australia, for example. But in terms of the trends, it's really, really interesting. And I certainly wouldn't profess to have all of the big data skills that it would take to actually sort of translate what is mostly qualitative information, you know, task descriptions, what people want, when they want it, all of these things, and to be able to come out with, you know, conclusive insights about the way the world is moving. But I certainly think we're on our way to being able to do that.
Great. Certainly to look forward to some of these technology trends. Tim, moving forward to 2016 and beyond, what are the plans and how big do you want to be?
We certainly want to take Airtasker to be, the global number one leading marketplace for local services and temporary labor. And obviously, that's a really, really big goal and a big vision. What we think is really important, though, is to sort of lock down your local markets first. And if you look at something like Seek, realestate.com, car sales, all of them were really disciplined in saying, look, let's not try and conquer the world on day one. Let's know what our market is, which was the Australian market, and let's absolutely build a product which is awesome for the Australian market, and we'll win that way. And as soon as we do that, then we can start looking offshore. You know, car sales is looking offshore, REA looks offshore, Seek looks offshore. But I think it was really important they stayed true to trying to build a defensible market, a defensible, profitable business in their home country first. And that's what we're doing right now. But certainly across the world, there are lots and lots of opportunities.
Yeah, that's a good point. And speaking to Vino Mofo recently, again, they're just nailing the backyard first and making sure that they understand their market and getting a really good grasp of the domestic market and then looking to offshore. So, Tim, just in finishing up, you're an entrepreneur by heart. There's lots of entrepreneurs out there that have got ideas or got concepts or even building their own startup. What advice can you give them from when you were, you know, a couple of years ago having that beer or even before having that beer, before you had that light bulb moment, some advice that you can give to people along the way?
I'll probably just give one tip, which is probably going to sound a little bit ironic because it is a piece of advice in its own right. But I would definitely say, as an entrepreneur, it's really important to seek guidance and to seek advice from a whole range of different people who have been there and done more things than you have. But I think it's also really important to respect your own views. And so what you need to do, I think, is take in all of this information, but quickly synthesize it and come up with your own view on how to do things, because everyone's going to tell you to do different things at different times. And I think it can be really, really confusing in the early days if you try and take everyone's advice as if it's great. So take that advice, create your own mix of what you think is a good view on the world, and go from there.
Tim, congratulations on building Airtasker to where it is now. We know this is the beginning partway through the journey of building this into a global brand. I wish you all the best for 2016 and beyond, and thank you for coming on and being part of this series.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.